Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Good morning, everyone. We have all read those fairy tales, haven't we? You know, when every day girl meets Prince Charming. They get married, they have kids, they ride off into the sunset. Well, TV personality, model and campaigner Christine McGuinness is keen to change the stereotype about marriage and fame and fortune. She and her husband, Top Gear host Paddy McGuinness, they've three children, all of whom have autism, and like Melanie Sykes and Stephanie Prizer, Christine was recently diagnosed with it herself. From today, she's lifting the lid on everything from that to dealing with infidelity in her marriage. And we are so thrilled to have her on the show right now. Christine, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my God. Listen, I am thrilled to have you on the show. I mean, the whole team, we were intrigued when we got an early copy of your book because, my God, Christine, it is so honest.
Do you know, I just thought if I'm going to write a book, I need to be honest. I've kept my life so private. As you know, my husband has been in the public eye for years. He's been working in TV for like forever. And I just always wanted to be a stay-at-home mum. I wanted to have children, that little family at home, nice and quiet. And suddenly I've got these new opportunities coming in, and one of them was to write a book, and I just thought, and I need to be honest, I need to say this is how my life was before. And I know there's some traumatic experiences in there that I didn't want to write about, but I just thought I couldn't leave it out because it's kind of made me the strong, independent woman that I am today.
I mean, you have a lot on your plate. You're a busy woman. Tell us about your three gorgeous kids.
So I started with twins. Mm-hmm. So I went in at the deep end. I had two at once, a boy and a girl, Leo and Penelope. They are now 8 years old. And then a couple of years later, I had my little Felicity. She's now five. All three of them have been diagnosed with autism, which is a lifelong condition, and it affects everybody differently. For my three, it's mainly social and communication skills. They did have a lot of development delays when they were babies. When they were toddlers, they didn't walk. And until quite later on, they didn't talk until they were four. Academically, they're all doing amazing. They're all in school, all very bright children. The personalities are funny. They're all little comedians. And they're very, very polite, which is, you know, all she can wish for. You know, they say please and thank you, and they've got good manners, which I absolutely love and adore.
Very important, very important. Christine, when did you get their diagnosis?
They were all diagnosed just before they were four.
Wow.
And you know, it's something we've spoke about a lot recently. The diagnosis stage can be quite difficult. It's a long process. Some children don't get diagnosed till much later. Adults like myself, I was only diagnosed recently and I'm 33. It is something that I think needs to change, because having a diagnosis, for me, it's been nothing but good. It's been really beneficial for me and the children. Certainly for children of school age, I think it's important to know if there's any additional needs there, because I think early intervention is massive. It makes a huge difference.
Did you have your concerns before you got the diagnosis? Did you think, oh, I might need to get something checked out here, or how did it all come about?
For myself...
No, for the kids, first of all.
For the children. Yeah, for the children, definitely. Because they were starting school, they were ready to start school.
Right.
And they were not able. They could say mummy and daddy. And obviously other 4 and 5 year olds were having full conversations. They wouldn't socialise. They didn't recognise the names. They were walking on the tiptoes. They had so many sensory issues with food, with textures, with smells. They wouldn't go anywhere busy. All of these things they were going to have to try and conquer at school, and knew they were going to struggle. So we got some help as much as we could with speech and language therapy, occupational therapy. We had so many hospital appointments that life seemed to just be full of hospital appointments when the children were younger, and that led us down to get a diagnosis of them all being autistic. And like I said, from there we've managed to get more support at school, because the school understand that these children have got additional needs, and I think it's just so important that they get that, they deserve that, and that has really, really helped them come on so much. And now, you know, they're doing amazing. They're getting straight A's at school, which, you know, for our children, it's just, it's incredible. They're doing so well. We try amazing. Not to have too many expectations, but, you know, they blow us away. They surprise us every single day.
And they've good manners. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's amazing. What more could you ask for?
That's all I ever wanted. Them to say please and thank you and just to be kind to each other, and they really are. I'm so, so lucky that these children are mine.
You share a really insensitive comment in the book that someone passed you one day. They actually said, I bet you wish you didn't have kids.
Yeah.
How did you react when you heard that?
I put them straight, of course. You know, I think autism is massively misunderstood, and it's something that I really want to change. I want to change the stigma around it. So I talk about autism quite a lot for that reason. Yeah. You know, quite often it's seen as quite a negative thing. Now, don't get me wrong, there are times where it's extremely challenging, and, you know, there are autistic people out there as adults that still will be nonverbal, that will never live an independent life, that may never get a job. You know, that's the severe end of the spectrum. But then there is the high functioning end, where you may appear to be absolutely fine on the outside, but on the inside, you've got all these worries and challenges and concerns that people can't see. And I think that's what people need to open their eyes to. You know, it is that typical don't judge a book by its cover. Sometimes what you see, like me and myself, what you see on the outside doesn't quite match what's going on the inside. You know, my children are absolutely loved and wanted, and I adore them, and I wouldn't change them for the world. I absolutely wouldn't take their autism away.
They sound like very, very, very special little human beings, and they're a credit to you and Paddy. But you do write in the book, which is a very interesting point, because I know a lot of people who are listening to this show might have felt the same. So that's why I want to bring it up, because you write that Paddy kind of struggled with it for a little bit. And that's really understandable as well. In what way did he struggle?
I think, you know, when we first found out, we knew nothing about autism, and he'd only heard like the negative side, which gotcha. Most people have. And he was just thinking, you know, God, you kind of have this plan in life. You're going to have your children, and you'll go to fancy restaurants, and you'll go to play centres, you'll go on holiday every year, and all of these things what he expected to have in his little family kind of wasn't happening. You know, our children didn't want to leave the house. They'd get upset if a stranger came to the house, if family members came that the children didn't recognize. It really upset them. If we broke the routine, it was just, you know, huge big meltdowns. And for him, that was really, really difficult to get his head around, thinking that was going to be our life forever. But now a couple of years have passed, he's understanding it a lot more. We both know what works for the children. We've had to educate ourselves on a condition that we knew nothing about. And I'm pleased to say it is getting easier. Not every day is blissful, but, you know, it's getting easier. The children are growing up, and hopefully we will get to the point where we have a summer holiday every year. And, you know, we will eat in restaurants. For now, we don't do that because they still struggle with it. But we're hopeful. We're feeling much more positive about the future.
That's really good. Let's talk about you, Christine. What was it like being diagnosed at 33? And you mentioned there earlier, this happens quite a lot. Just in Ireland, a recent story came out of a writer, Stephanie Preisner, who was recently diagnosed with autism in her 30s. How did that come about? I mean, you've lived a full life up to 33, and then you get this diagnosis. Was it because you got the diagnosis from your kids, and then you related to them in some ways, or how did that all happen?
Yeah, definitely. It was whilst I was writing my autobiography this year, and when I went back to my childhood, there was so much stuff in there that was very similar to my children. So the penny kind of dropped then. But I always felt different. I felt very different at school. Throughout my 20s, I was a recluse. I stayed at home for around 8 years. Of course, no one knew about this until I've wrote this book. So I have kind of had a whole secret life that no one has known about. And like I said, people see what they see on the outside or what they see on Instagram and probably would never know that I'm autistic. But I always felt it. I got my diagnosis while we were filming our documentary, which is out on Wednesday on the BBC. We I've really looked into autism and the genetic side of it, and it completely makes sense for me to have three autistic children that, you know, one of us were possibly on the spectrum. And it didn't come as a shock that it was me. I think, unfortunately, a lot of women get diagnosed later in life due to masking. I don't know if you've heard of that, yeah. But masking is quite common for young autistic girls and for autistic women. And it is basically just trying to fit in. You put a mask on, you act when you go into a room. I tend to mirror whoever I'm with. It's just kind of a way of getting through life. And I suppose we tend to hide our signs and symptoms of autism just to be like everybody else. So that's why I believe that's why a lot of women don't get diagnosed till later on in life.
Christine, how does it affect your everyday life, or does it?
It does. It's affected me forever. Socialising is one of the biggest things that I really struggle with. I've never had much of a friendship group. I tend to always have just one or two friends. And although I know a lot of people and I can walk into a room and I can, you know, put a smile on and probably seem to be quite social and quite chatty, I'm okay for a small amount of time and I'm okay with short conversation. It's building the relationship from that. You know, if somebody said, oh, we should go for lunch next week, then I would panic and make every excuse not to go. So socialising is a big thing for me. My food, I was diagnosed with an eating disorder when I was a teenager. It still is an issue now. It's not an eating disorder because of weight or because of how I look visually. That's not something I'm worried about. I know that that's not important. It is purely sensory issues. So I won't touch anything or eat anything that is wet, like a lasagna or a bolognese. And the sensory, the feel of it, the texture of it, the smell of it, the colour. That's very, very typical for autistic people to have quite a dry beige food diet, which I've always had right through childhood. And it's only now that it's all kind of making sense, you know, that I'm like that, obviously, because I'm autistic.
Well, you're obviously working on it because you wrote that it was only in recent years when you first tried colourful food like green vegetables.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is all for my children, you know, understanding autism now. I know that I need to push their boundaries, and to do that, I need to push my own. So because of them, wow. I am trying to step out my comfort zone. I'm trying to go to events. I'm trying to work. I'm trying to be more open because I don't want my children to be how I was. I don't want them to be reclusive. I don't want them to feel like they have to fit in or be like anybody else. And if they can't do that, just stay at home. And that's what I done, you know. So for my children to go out and be their best self, I need to show them that mummy's doing all this too. You know, mummy works, mummy goes out, mummy's married and got children. I really, really want my children to do the best they can. So I've got to lead by example.
You are some woman, because that's difficult in itself for you with your diagnosis. Yeah. But you're doing it. But it must be great motivation, knowing the childhood that you had to go through and then seeing your kids going, I don't want them to feel that they have to hide away and whatever. So I'm going to show them for them. Is it great motivation
motivation. It's the motivation that I've always needed. And I honestly think without the children, I would still be sat in doing nothing like I did in my 20s, just hiding away, you know, not quite being myself, just being quite reclusive. I want my children to, you know, do the best that they can, whatever makes them happy. And I've still got to be careful. I know that I can't push them too much. I know that I can't hop on a plane with them tomorrow and jet off to Spain and have a lovely little family holiday, because that would upset them. It wouldn't make them happy. Mm. We have to do things slowly. We've got to do it as and when they're ready. You know, I think knowledge is power with autism, and the more I learn about it, and if I can educate others, that helps. And with my children, I just need to set an example and you know, continue to love and support them.
Well, you're doing it. You're doing it. Even with this book and this interview, there's a lot of people texting in already and listening to this interview going, it's the stigma that needs to be lifted and changed, and you're doing that. So I thank you for that.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier that you want to dispel some of the myths about wealth and fame, which is so refreshing in this book. You and Paddy went through a very challenging period in 2018. Can you just bring us back and tell us about that morning when he was away in London and you saw those pictures and videos on Instagram?
Do you know, it came as an absolute bombshell. You know, I was not expecting it at all, and it absolutely turned my world upside down. It was an awful time. But again, like many things in the book, things that I didn't want to write about, this was one of those moments that I wish I could totally erase from my life, but I couldn't. You've got to acknowledge that sometimes life, marriage, everything goes through bad periods, and it happens, and you've got to deal with it. You can't ignore it. And so we dealt with it, and now it's a few years later, and I'm so proud of us as a team, as a couple, as a family. We're so strong and so happy.
It's funny, Christine, because we did a whole item on this a couple of weeks ago about, we're talking about infidelity in relationships and if anything happens like that. And, you know, a lot of people could walk away, but it's so much more work to stay and
it
to
is,
get
it
through
is.
It, isn't it? But you did that.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got to make a choice. And my nan was a big part in this. My nan and granddad were together from when they were teenagers right up until the day my granddad passed away last year. And
sorry to hear that.
My nan, it's a love story. And my nan kind of sat me down and she said, I've been through it all with your granddad. You know, it happens. But look at us now. We're so happy. And honestly, There's no other man on this earth that I've ever looked at and thought I would want to be with other than my husband. So I don't want to waste time on anything. I want to move on. And if we can be happy, then that's what we can do. You know, we have got a choice. You don't have to throw in the towel. It's totally up to you. And for me, I knew there was absolutely no way I was gonna let my man go. I absolutely love him to bits.
And you that's guys did the work. You did the work, and you got through it. And that's amazing to see as well. I love what you said there, that there is a choice. There is a choice to stick with it and look at the big picture, or you know, walk away. Whatever you want to do, but there is a choice there. There's a lovely quote in your book. If you've got laughter, you've got everything. It seems like that's become a mantra for you. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I honestly believe it. That was something that Peter Kay said on his best man speech on our wedding. And it was the one thing that really stood out to me. And I live by it. And honestly, it's become such a mantra. And with everything I do now, where even when I'm panicking, I've been away from home recently just for a couple of days here and there filming a TV show in support of cancer. I've been filming The Real Full Monty with ITV, and I've never spent time away from home. And I spent the first couple of days really upset, really panicking. And by day three, I was laughing with the rest of the cast. And that saying always comes back to me. If you've got laughter, you've got everything. And in that moment, I was having such a laugh with everybody else. I stopped worrying. I stopped worrying about being away, being out of my routine, being away from the children and my husband. And it really is, in those moments of laughter, it's everything. And as long as you've got that, you can keep going. And that's something I've always had with my husband. We never stop laughing, even through bad times. We laugh, you know, and that's a really big positive. Probably a really good thing that I married a comedian.
It is handy. It is handy, I would say. Well, listen, Christine, it's been so lovely speaking with you this morning. Your book is a candid account of your own life and raising children with additional needs. It's called A Beautiful Nightmare. It's out today, and everyone should go grab a copy. Christine, best of luck with everything, okay?
Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. Bye, love.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.